Good morning, right? If you're happy this morning, wave your hand, right? Yeah, it's so good, you know, to see all of you again. And I just want you to know that during worship, I was so encouraged by the songs, the lyrics, you know, during that time. You know, I just sense the Spirit saying to all of us, you know, God is in control. God is good. God is with us. Amen? Amen? So I don't know, you know what, as you come to church this morning, what kind of burdens is with you. I just want you to know that God is with us. Amen? Right? God is with us. Alright? And so I just want us to begin the service, you know. Don't be distracted by what's happening at home. Don't be distracted by your problems or whatever you're facing, you know, this morning. I want us to focus your eyes on the Lord. Yeah? I believe God has something to say to us. And I believe there's something that God wants you to hear. And I believe that God, you know, today, as you leave this place, you know, you will be encouraged, you'll be cheered by God, and you will step into the world with the confidence and the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap for him, shall we? Yeah, God is good all the time, right? God all the time, God is good. And so those who are watching online, and I'm happy to be back. You know, it's been a year. I've been away for a year, and it's good to be back, and it's good, to be here sharing the word of God with you once again. I want to begin also by saying to everyone of us, Happy New Year. So those who are watching online, you too, Happy New Year to you. We all know, right? We've been hearing this again and again and again and again, Alright? We've been hearing this again and again that last year wasn't a good year. And this year, no one can guarantee it's going to be a better year. So there are a lot of uncertainty, right? Isn't that true? You know, we are still in the tunnel, and the tunnel is still dark, and everybody is trying to guess what is it like tomorrow, how is it going to be like tomorrow. So there are a lot of uncertainties, you know. And there are a lot of fear that's going on, anxiety is going on. And, you know, but I also want us to know that as I do my own reflection of what God has done for us as a church, for myself personally, my time at Marine Parade Christian Center, Yeah, it's true that I'm in the midst of darkness. But do you know that even in the midst of darkness, as I do my own reflection, my time with the Lord, I realize that there are still many things I can give thanks to God. There are many things I can give thanks to God. In fact, if my sermon today is about giving thanks, I can use probably the whole session today, just tell us list by list, one item by one item, of what God has done for me in my life. Of course, it doesn't mean that life is easy, life is good, doesn't mean I have no challenges, it doesn't mean that, you know, everything is like smooth and easy. No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that in the midst of that difficulties, I see the hands of God. And I think that is good enough. Alright, and so there are so many things I want to thank God for, but I just want to really take this time to thank our staff from Church Our Savior, especially during my absence. Many of them, they come in, they help me, and they take over some of my duties, alright, so that I'm able, alright, to free myself to assist the church on the other side. So I want to thank all the staff for during this period of time, you were there with me by carrying the burden together with me. And also I want to thank our senior pastor for sending me over there. Yeah. It was a great opportunity, alright? Later I'll share with you a little bit more of what happened. But I realized that my presence there was not by chance. Actually, God has already known, alright? And why I needed to be sent there. So I want to of course thanks our senior pastor, okay? Yeah. And for sending me there and the lesson that I learned. Yeah. Also, I want to thank our PCC members. You are here, or those who are watching online. Thank you, all my PCC members, for the great support they've given to me right while I was serving at MPCC. You know what you did for us. So I thank you for you. And also many of you, those who are online as well, I receive texts, I receive words of encouragement. Saying to me, oh, you know, Pastor, you're back already. It's good to see you. Wow, right? Also receive a lot of texts. I want you to know that those words of encouragement, it really warms my heart. You know, it's very warm my heart. Because, I was away for a year, and I'm wondering, alright, after I come back, away for a year, when I come back, am I still welcome here, right? Or, you know, you have forgotten me. But thank God, you have not, right? Thank God for that, yeah? Oh yeah, please clap for the Lord. Yeah. So thank you so much. All right. I'll say thank you all of you. All right. For the little things that you do, words or action. They really, really, really warms my heart. As I mentioned earlier, it was challenging for me when I moved over to Marine Parade Christian Center. It was challenging because it happened to be circuit breaker period time. So in other words, I only saw the members twice before circuit breaker. And you know what is it like, right, during circuit breaker? No more service, no more interaction. And so I met them twice. So in other words, I'm new to them and they are new to me. So they do not know my working style, neither do I know what are their working style, and yet we cannot do nothing. I got to do something, right? But thank God, even though it was difficult, it was challenging, a lot of last minute things, we need to come out something for the service so they can benefit the congregation. But thank God we work well, we learn to adapt, we learn to understand, we learn to work together. You know, keeping our eyes, it's not just about me. We are doing this for the congregation, we are doing for God, and praise God, everything went out well. Everything went very well, and I really, really want to thank God for that. And so, MPCC members, if you're watching online, if you're happy watching online, I want to say thank you to all of you. Really, really thank you. One lesson for me in 2020, I'm sure many of us, as we look back at 2020, there are many things we can learn. One lesson for me, all right, my own reflection as I look back at 2020, all right, is that COVID took away many things from the church, all right, took many things away from us. But I realized they can take as many things as they liked, but they couldn't take away the love of God from my life. They couldn't take away God from me. And I also see that during this period of time, they also cannot take away our love for God. I'm still seeing many, many of us or believers, they are still standing firm in their conviction, in their faith in God. I'm still seeing many, many of them waiting patiently for the Lord to fulfill the purpose. You know, and so COVID can take away many things. But we thank God that even they have taken things away from us, they couldn't take away His love from us. Neither COVID can take away our love for Him and for one another. And that is my personal reflection. And as I think about that, you know, I just raise my hand and praise God. Praise God. Isn't that our God is great? Isn't that our God is good? And so I pray that today as you are in service, I want to remind you that our God is great. God might have taken away things from you, but remember, there are certain things that COVID can never take away from you. The love of God, His presence with you. Amen? Amen? Amen. Yeah, all right. Okay. Yeah, I want to give thanks to God. Please give thanks to God, all right? I know with the mask, it's very uncomfortable, okay? We must do action to keep ourselves awake. Yeah? God is good. God indeed is good, yeah? You know, but now, while we wait for the day to come when God will fulfill His purpose, now we do not know how long it will take. Nobody will know. Maybe 6 months, maybe 1 year, even with the vaccine. Alright, and how is it going to be like? Nobody will know. Alright, everybody try to guess, everybody try to predict. You know, I will say to you, don't waste time on that. I'd rather you spend time in knowing God, spend time in seeking God, and spend time in fixing your eyes on God. Because only He alone knows what's going to happen at the end of the tunnel. Isn't that true? Alright, so don't waste too much time, you know, worry about too many things that is not within your control. Rather, I want you to spend more time on seeking the face of God and know God and fix your eyes on Him. He will tell you what's going to happen, alright? So as what Pastor Kalai said earlier, I want to remind all of us again, don't kanchong. Yeah? Turn to your neighbor and say don't kanchong. I know you cannot see your mouth and talk, but never mind, alright? Say don't kanchong means don't worry, okay? Keep your eyes on the Lord. So, but we wait for the day to come We wait for the day where we are at the end of the tunnel, where we see the light, where we begin to understand what God is doing during this period of time. I believe there's something that God wants us to continue to do while we wait for the day to come. So what is the one thing that God would want His church to continue while we wait for the day to come? I believe that during this period of time, God wants His church to continue to love one another. God wants His church to continue to carry each other's burden. God wants His church to stand together as one in Christ. Because as we learn to walk with one another, as we learn to suffer together with one another, as we learn to help one another, you know, something is happening. Something is very powerful happening during this period of time, is that you make the love of God become visible. During this period of time where people talk about where is the love of God? Us. We are the church. That this is a time that we need to rise up and to let the world know who our God is. That even in the midst of trial, we will continue to stay together because we have the love of God in us. And we do not afraid. Yeah, I mean, we'll face challenges. They will come and test us. They'll try to test our faith. But we know that our hope is in our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, we can continue to stand together as a church. And that is my, you know, right, something that I want to encourage us. Whether you're watching online, whether you are here physically, I want us to know that we may not able to meet as how we used to meet together in the past. But we can continue to remain together as one. And I'll share with us how we can do it at the end of the sermon. Alright? Okay, so while we wait for that tunnel, right, as in the darkness and wait for the light to come, God wants us to stand together. And just like how Moses and his people supported each other in Exodus chapter 17 verses 11 to 13. If you have a Bible, turn to your Bible, whether it's phone, alright, hard copy, alright, if not, you can look on the screen. I'm going to read for us Exodus chapter 17 verses 11 to 13. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hand became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And so Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And one of the ways for us to overcome COVID is our unity. And that's why I believe that God wants His church to stand together. Alright, and fight this battle together as one body. So God called Moses to raise his hand into the air for the whole battle. Alright, we don't know how long, but it's very long. It's probably a day or two. Now, during worship, right, three songs, raise our hands. It's very easy for all of us. We praise God, we can clap. Now, the three songs shouldn't be a problem for many of us. But imagine your senior pastor asks you today, we're going to praise God with our hand lifted up high for the whole days. Wow. Alright, initially everybody can thank Jila, you know. But I'm sure 1 hour later, 2 hours later, 6 hours later, what happened to your hand? You start to tremble, start to grow tired, your back will grow tired, your leg will grow tired, your knee will grow tired. You know, you will start to tremble, you know. And so imagine Moses stood there the whole day. He must be very, very tired. And what happened? What happened? When both Aaron and Hur saw that, what happened? The Bible tells us that both Aaron and Hur, they came alongside him, gave him a stone to sit, and they helped them up. That means they hold Moses' hand throughout the whole battle. What a great support. What a beautiful picture that God is showing to us. And what it means when the body of Christ coming together, supporting one another. And when, as I look at this picture, I say, I must preach this to the church. This is a very powerful picture. I believe it's a message for us during this period of time, that we must come together and support one another. We just crossed over 2020, as I said earlier, to 2021. We all know the battle is not over yet. We don't know how long again, as I mentioned earlier. But today you come to church and your hand is still raising in the air. Praise God. Praise God that your hand is still raising in the air. Praise God that today you are still up there and hold your hands up. Praise God. But what if your hands begin to grow tired? You know, sometimes we hold for a while, and after a while you get tired. What if your hand begins to grow tired? What if you see someone, your friends or cell group members, someone that you know, they begin to lower their hands because they are too tired? Tremble. What should we do? What should we do if we see someone fall? What should we do if we see someone fainted because they were too tired? Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 6 verse 1 and 2, he says this, brethren or brothers and sisters, if a man or woman or someone is overtaken in any trespass or do something wrong or fall, you who are spiritual, you who are hands strong in the air, this is what Paul says, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, so and so fulfill the law of Christ. So Paul says, when you see someone, Moses, whose hand is tired, they needed help, we should not say to them, this is not my business. That is your problem. I have my own problem. I'm very busy, you know. That is your gasa. You go and solve yourself. Paul says, no, if we see someone is falling, we don't say that is your problem. Neither should we let them be crushed. Seeing that they are going to crash already, seeing that they're going to fall, seeing they're going to faint, and we say, oh, no, it's not my problem, you know. You fall. Paul said, neither should we see them crush, neither should we be like the scribes and the Pharisees. They never lift a finger to ease the burden. But Paul says, when we see someone is falling, if your hand is still in the air, you should do something to support and share their burdens. But not grudgingly. Not doing it grudgingly, he says. But help them in the spirit of gentleness. And then he says, but watch out for yourself so you won't be tempted too. Now why? What kind of temptation will we face for someone who wants to help others? What kind of temptation will we face? You know, Jesus says, sometime when we notice the small piece of dust that is in our friend's eyes, but we don't notice the big piece of wood that is in our own. In other words, sometimes when we want to help others, we focus so much on people's fault, but miss our reason of helping them. We focus on their weakness so much, we miss the purpose in the first place why I want to help them. Or we have very, very, very good intention, but our approach was very, very, very bad. Now I want to imagine, alright, imagine the two friends and Moses. Imagine, alright, and Moses' hands were up, the two friends were supporting, okay, and so you can see their head, alright, is facing down. Probably they are not able to look at Moses' face, but Moses' armpit. Alright? So they are holding hand, and imagine, alright, when they were supporting his hand, instead of saying words of comfort and say, Moses, I want you to know I'm with you. I want you to know that we will be here standing with you till the battle is over. Alright? We want to support you. You are not alone. So imagine, instead of comforting him with words of comfort and encouragement, but they say, oh, Moses, when is the last time you wash your armpit? Oh, you're smelly, you know. What kind of shampoo are you using? Right, I cannot take it already, lah. Right, so imagine Instead of supporting him, alright, with comfort words, now they criticize and complain about his armpit smell. Now poor Moses. Initially, his struggle is only with his two hands, you know. Oh, wow, very sung, very sung, very tired. Now, he got to bear more burdens. Now he has to take their criticism, their judgment, you know. Now he has to take their complaint. So imagine now, Moses, instead of friends coming in to help him to ease the burden, he ended up got more burden out. Burdens now because of their complaints, because of their criticism, because they keep looking at their weaknesses. And then now all the saliva is on his face and he couldn't breathe because the two friends didn't realize they are not perfect as well. They got bad breath. So, you know, sometimes we want to help other people, but we focus so much on their weaknesses instead of sharing the burden with them. Our good intention, we start to look at their weaknesses and then begin to judge them, begin to criticize them. So instead of sharing the burden with them, which is our own first intention, that we are there because we want to help them to ease their burden, ended up we added more burdens on them. So that's why Paul say, be very careful when we help someone. You know, sometimes, you know, it happens to many of us. It's so easy for us to look at people's weaknesses and then we think that, all right, we think that we are doing better than them. I used to have a friend, all right, who neglected her children because of her gambling addiction, many, many years ago. So he spent so much time on gambling, and one day, her son ran away from home. And so she started to call me and ask for help. So I could see she was very anxious, very worried because her son ran away from home. So instead of me comforting her, I remember I started to accuse her. I started to blame her for spending so much time on gambling. I say, you deserve it, what? I say, you spend so much time on gambling. Of course, you don't care about your children. Of course, they want to leave home. You don't even spend time with them. So you are actually reaping what you sow. I told her that. Although it was out of good intention, it was out of love for her, but my approach was really, really bad. And so, as I was trying to, you know, remind her of her weaknesses, her sin, what I didn't realize, that as I was confronting her, I myself sinned against God for judging her. I myself make the same mistakes. It was a terrible mistake, and very painful mistake, very costly mistake. And as you know, that is why till today, I still remember. Eventually, she found her son. Praise God. But she never come back to church again since that time. I'm still praying for her. I'm still trying to 赎罪啦, you know, they call that. Huh? I'm praying for her that one day she will come back to Christ. And that was a very, very precious lesson that I make in my life. And I hope you will not repeat the same mistakes as me. When we help someone, remember why you help. Remember why you help. Our purpose is to ease the burden and not to add on the burden. So when you focus too much on their weaknesses, their fault, and begin to criticize and complain, or, you know, and help them to remember what they have done wrong, it doesn't help them. So if you see your friend doing something wrong, it's true. If you really love them, we have to confront their sin. We have to confront their wrong. If you really love them. But my motivation then was wrong. My motivation then, it was my pride, my self-righteousness, and my selfish reason that I judge her. So don't repeat the same mistake that I made when you want to help someone. What I should do then at that point, I should have first of all helped her to find her son. That should be the first thing that I should do instead of reminding her of her past. I should have, come, let's go. Let's go and find your son. And then secondly, comfort her in the midst of her pain. Because you can imagine the anxiety and the worries she has to go through. She needs someone to comfort her. So I should have, in the midst of her pain, I should just find time, you know, find space to comfort her instead of blaming her. And then, after everything is over, then maybe I should start to restore her and her walk with Christ gently. But I make the mistakes. I tombalik. The first should be last, and the last should be first. And so, remember, when you help someone, remember why you want to help them. Not to add on more burdens, but to help them to release burden from them and carry it with them. Now, the other temptation that we need to be very careful when we want to help someone is that, now, many times, those who help someone, it's easy to come into that kind of setting, you know, where we think other needs help, but not me. Oh, they need help, but not me. The kind of mindset, you know what I'm saying? You know, we look out, everybody needs help except me. I don't need help. So be very careful. Or some of us, we focus so much on helping others, but we do not know how to help ourselves. So we are very good at helping others, but when it comes to us, we do not know how to help ourselves. So imagine Moses, alright, refused to let the friends to come in and help him. And what happened to Israel? Israel probably will lose the battle. So if church, if we refuse to let people to come to help us, our pride will divide our church. And also, my friends, humility, to be humble, is more than just about you serving others. To be humble also means when you need help, when you need support, you learn to ask for help. And my friends, there are times, if you are that person, I want to say to you, there are times, even I myself, we need other to carry our burden. There are times we need other people to be involved in our life and allow them to carry our burdens with us. So my friends, it's okay to receive help from friends. If someone come to you and offer their help, do not reject them. Do not turn them down. Do not say to them, I don't need your help. Because you never know, the person who comes to you, they were sent by God to help you. So when someone come to you, offer their help to you, don't reject them, don't turn them down, but humble and open your life and allow other people to help you. And it does not show that you are lack of faith because you allow people to help you. In fact, it only shows your humility that we are not perfect and we need each other and we need to learn how to carry each other's burden. You know, in John chapter 11, verse 43, it's a very, very interesting story. Probably the story you heard many, many times. It's about a miracle that Jesus performed. That Jesus performed a miracle in raising Lazarus from the dead. So Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead and Lazarus walked out of the tomb. I'm trying to figure how actually Lazarus walked out. Because remember he was wrapped all the way, right? Then he said, walk out. That's why I'm wondering, you know, is it walk out like that or you jump? I'm trying to imagine, right? But nevertheless, he came out. He came out of the tomb, right? Where he had been dead for 4 days. So he came out and what? The grave clothes was still wrapped around his face and his body, probably his eyes and his nose. So he stood there. Everybody's watching at him. Jesus raised him up. His clothes, the grave clothes is wrapping over around him, except the eyes, the nose, and the mouth, maybe. And what did Jesus say after he done the miracle? He said to the friends of Lazarus, loose him and let him go. Jesus say, why not Jesus after do the miracle? He walked there and unwrapped everything. But he said to the friends, loose him and let him go. He instructed his friends to take off the grave clothes. When we carry each other's burden, alright, I'm saying this, when we carry each other's burdens, it does not mean that we can take away the pain. That's not what I'm trying to say, alright? Alright, when we carry, so that's what I'm trying to say, alright, the pain will still there, be there, even though we try to help each other. And taking away the pain, I believe that is something only God can do. Only God has the power to help us, His love will help us. But, you know, my friends, through this story, it is obvious that God sometime or many times, He does call friends to take off the grave clothes from us. God does use our friend to take off the grave clothes from us. And so that means God does use people to help us. So when people offer their help, you never know. That person might be sent by God to help you. So we shouldn't reject them. We shouldn't turn them down. But allow God to use that person to come into your life to help you. So if your hands are tired today, you've been raising your hands for very, very long day, and you begin to feel the burdens and you start to tremble, your burden is overwhelming and you need support. As what Pastor Daniel shared with us a few weeks ago, you need to shout for help. You need to call for help. Lately, one of our sisters from Church of Members, Kuz of Church Member, was called home with the Lord. So I went down to pay the family a visit and to pray for them and to give them my support. And when I was at the wake service, I saw many of our church members were there to support them. And to support the our late sister's husbands, the mother, the children. So I was sitting there, and while I was observing how they love each other, that means how one learned to give and the other one learned to receive. As I saw how one learned to give and the other one learned to receive, as they come together, I saw the love of God manifested in them. I saw God's love manifested in them. It would be impossible for just one person who wants to give, or the other person who just wants to receive, but they are not connected. But because one learned to give, the other one learned to receive, I saw the love of God manifested in them. God's love become visible. No wonder Jesus said to us, to you and me, that when we learn to love each other, when we learn to support each other, when we learn to carry each other's burden, the world will see His love in us. As we learn to give, as we learn to receive. Jesus says, I'm giving you a new command. Listen, and He said this, alright, He said this in this new command. You must love each other. Alright, turn to your neighbor and say, each other. Right? You must love each other just as I have loved you. So Jesus is not saying to you and me, you should do for others. He's not saying that. He's not saying that you should do for others. I believe what Jesus is saying is that because we are sinner, we need each other. That's why we need to learn to love each other. You see the difference? It's not about you and others. Jesus said, because we are sinners, we have our own weaknesses, and we need each other. So it is God's desire that you and me, that we learn to carry each other's burden. And as we learn to carry each burden, Jesus said, then my love is in you. And the world will know that my love is in you, and you belongs to me, and I'm yours. And so it's important that we learn to give and receive and carry each other's burden. And as we learn to receive and give, as we learn to carry each other's burden, and Paul says, this is how we fulfill the law of Christ and everything that God requires of us. Love. When we bear not yours, but when we learn to bear each other's burden, the church, the body of Christ, you and me, when we learn to bear you and my burdens for each other. And so, what will you do, right, today? If you see someone, hands are tired, What will you do if you see Moses in your life today? What will you do if you see Lazarus still in his grave, clothes? How can we share their burdens? How can we help them? How can we step in and, you know, and fulfill that law of Christ to love them and to carry their burdens? I'm going to give us some very simple and practical steps. Something that we can do daily. Something that you and me can practice right here, right now. Something that's easy. And I'm going to use our family credo. Do you remember our family credo? And our family credo, what I'm talking about. Do you know our cool credo? Yeah, our cool credo is family, right? I hope you still remember. If you cannot remember by today, you will remember. Okay? Remember our cool credo, family. So I'm going to use today our cool credo family to help us how we can, through this credo, you know, become a simple step, practical step, where we can help to carry each other's burden. So let's go through the credo first. Yeah? Family. F stands for fun at all time, all right? And A stands for affirm always. Very good. All right. M stands for make time to connect. All right. I stands for ignore offenses. L stands for listen to understand. And Y stands for you are not alone. Okay? Right? So, we're going to go through this. But before that, I need to get you pump up again. Right? Turn to your neighbor and give a good smile. I know you cannot see your smile, but never mind. All right? Yeah, I think your ringer will tell. Okay? Just give a good smile. Just get ready. All right? Now, these are some of the practical steps I believe we can do for each other. Right now, right here, today onwards. All right? So, first, fun at all times. Now, fun at all times could mean, you know, doing things together, enjoy each other's presence together. It means have fun. But fun at all times also can mean, in my interpretation, also can mean we can love one another or we can help one another creatively. Fun, right? We can help one another creatively. And so during the circuit breaker, we know, right? During the circuit breaker, there were many restrictions. We can't do a lot of things. We can't meet each other. But true love never fails. True love never fails. Even during that period of time, we cannot meet each other. But because we insist to love one another, even there are rules that will stop us from meeting one another, but because we want to reach out to one another, we want to love one another, we start to come up with very creative ideas. So I learned one thing. When you really want to love someone, and when someone trying to stop you, but you really want to love someone, you will come up ideas to reach out to that person. Isn't that true? Yeah. And I want to share with you a testimony, alright, from our brothers, Wotiong, he's our course member, also the chairman of the Queenstown Nursing Home. I want to read a part of his testimony of what happened during circuit breaker time when nobody can go in to minister to them. And how does the people outside actually come in to give them encouragement and support without physically there? Alright? And this is what he shared, alright, the testimony. He said this, despite this difficult situation where volunteers activities were non-existent, St. Andrew Nursing Home were blessed to continue receiving utmost support from our community partner. When they think that how are people going to come in to encourage our people? He was surprised. Even with circuit breaker, it cannot stop people from wanting to share their love. Something that they want to encourage for the people in the nursing home. So he said, schools like St. Margaret Secondary School, Queenstown Secondary School, Zhangde Primary Schools, and they show their care to our residents with handmade games, simple arts and crafts, care packs, food donation, sing along video, and etc. It wasn't easy, but because they want to tell them that I love you, ideas come up. Simple things like that. And also Newtown Primary School also sends fruits, hampers, to encourage our residents and staff. Church of Savior also had a husband and wife team, Mr. Johnny and Mr. Dorothy Wee from Bukit Batok BB122 cell group. They contribute their precious time and effort in making beautiful and colorful mementos to encourage all the nursing home and senior care staff. As we can see, if we want to truly love someone, nothing can stop you. And you will come up new ideas. So, my friends, don't stop and give up in loving someone. Sometimes it makes things difficult when you want to reach out to someone. For example, someone is going through a hard time and they make things difficult for you to reach out to them. Don't give up. Let your love continue. Love never fails. As you keep your focus on wanting to love that person, even if you have no ideas, trust me, God will give you ideas on how to reach out to them. And you don't need to do big things to show your love. The most important thing is you do it with love. However big, however small, it's not the most important thing. It's that when you do it with love. When you do it with love, they can feel your love. Alright? So, do it with love and never give up on loving someone that you want to reach out to. Amen? Alright? Secondly, say something that affirm them. Say something that affirm them. You know, do not underestimate the power of words. It's unfortunately today our words are used very loosely, right? But do you know that our words is very, 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 very powerful? Do you know that our words can bring healing? Do you know that words, words that when we say positively, when you use it wisely, do you know our words can save someone, can help someone, can make someone do better? Right? So, use your words wisely. Alright, words are very powerful. So let your word be like honey. You know honey? Honey is sweet, right? So when you speak your word, and the one who receives your word says, wow, your word is sweet like honey, man. You know? Don't let your word macam like just eating garlic, you know? Or onion or bitter gourd. When you speak your word, the person says, wow, your words are bitter, you know, like what? Alright? No, let our words like honey. So when we speak the word, we want to make sure the person say, wow, your words really make my day different. Wow, your words really make my life change. Your words change my life. How good it is. Isn't that very good that when our words can change a person's life? You don't need a big thing. A simple thing like our words can be a good start. So we're going to practice it now. And I know many of you miss my Hokkien words, yeah? So I'm going to teach you lesson number one for today, Hokkien words. Huh? So those are online. All right, got to bear with me a little bit. So turn to your neighbor and say to your neighbor, Lu Jing Sui. Okay? Lu Jing Sui means you are beautiful, right? But someone reminded me, you know, Pastor, to a man, you should say, Lu Jing Yan Dao. Okay? Lu Jing Yan Dao means you are very handsome, yeah? So, remember, okay, let us use our words for good. Let us use our words to bring hope, to bring life, to bring love, especially for those who are suffering, for those who are in pain. Let us bring words that God may use our words and make a change in their life. Then, thirdly, make time to meet. Okay, I think words is good. But words alone is not enough. Sometimes to show our sincerity, to really means what we want to help, how to help them, we got to meet up with them. Because you won't know how to help them until you know what help do they need. So it's important that you need to make time to meet up with them. Call them, text them, make appointment with them, buy them coffee lah. How much can it cost, right? 70 cent, 80 cent, well, that's my time. Maybe $1, 110, okay, 120. If you want to give them a better coffee, send them to Starbucks, meet them at Starbucks, alright? Buy them lunch, meet them up, pray with them, and spend time with them. They need our physical presence as well. Especially now, we've opened up, we're allowed to meet. So, let's don't stay at home. Let's begin to look out. Pray and seek God Who is your Moses today? Who is your Lazarus today? They need you to support their hands and need you to unwrap their grave clothes. Meet them, call them, and what if they reject your meeting? It happens, right? I mean, it doesn't mean because you want to meet them, they will want to meet you. I cannot many times already. I cannot many times. I want to meet them. They are not interested to meet me. I call again. They are not interested to meet me, you know. I don't need your help. You know, sometimes it doesn't mean because you want to help someone and someone will accept your offer. So when you want to help someone and someone doesn't want to accept your offer, don't be discouraged. Don't get angry. Alright? It's okay. Alright? Anyway, remember, what is our purpose of helping? It's not to accept my requirement. My purpose of helping is to let the person know I'm here to carry your burden. Right? So, remember, your purpose of helping them is to carry your burden and continue to text them. Continue to give a call to them. Don't give up. That's my point. Alright? When you know someone who's going through a difficult time, don't give up on them. Now, if you keep calling, if you keep texting, and then one day he said to you, wow, you are very dang, you know, they say, I keep telling you, don't want already, right? I say, I don't need help, right? But the person really need help, lah. But I say, you know, right? I told you, don't come already. Why are you so persistent? Why are you so stubborn? Now, there's a trick. Okay? You sing this song to them, you will melt their hearts. You sing this song to them, I can tell you, you will make them laobaksai. The tears will roll. Alright? I heard this song over the radio, and I said, wow, this is a very powerful song. If anyone ever said to me, you know, why am I so stubborn and so, you know, persistent to help them, I will sing this song to them. And I'm going to teach you this song right now. Alright? And this is how you sing this song, alright? I just call to say I love you. I just call to say how much I care. I just call to say I love you. And I mean it from the bottom of my heart. Ah, okay, I tell you, alright? Alright, of course I don't mean that you really go and sing this song, right? But my point is, this song is talk about the sincerity of our hearts. You know, sometimes we may not able to reach out to them physically or meet them physically, but sometimes our sincerity alone can help them. When they know that we are sincere, even though they don't want us to help them, your sincerity will still reach out to them. Now this is also another way that we can help them to ease their burden. Fourthly, ignore offenses. Alright, ignore offenses. Be prepared to, you know, when you want to help someone who is in pain, I want to tell you one thing, alright? Be prepared to get hurt. If you want to help someone who is going through pain, be prepared to get hurt. Hurt people will hurt you. Hurt people will hurt you. But be willing to forgive. The reason is because I've learned hurt people will hurt us, and the reason they hurt us is because it's not because they are angry with you, it's not because they don't like you. Hurt people, they will hurt you because they need someone to know their pain. They need someone to share their pain. And that is why one of the ways to help you to know they are painful is to let you have the experience of their pain. So, when they hurt you, don't get angry. Don't get upset. But be more understanding and know why. My wife Jocelyn was in great pain when she was giving birth to Josiah, my second child. And so I still remember, right, the picture is like almost like 16 years ago already, yeah. I still remember that picture and tell you why. Because when my wife was in pain, you know, so she was like, whoa, you know, it was a natural birth, right, natural birth. And so the senior nurse was standing beside her and I stood beside the senior nurse. And so she was in pain, then you need to grab something. And after a while, the senior nurse very gently said to my wife, Miss, I think you are grabbing the wrong hand. Then the senior nurse took her hand and then passed her hand to me. And the moment my wife grabbed my hands, immediately I know why the senior nurse told my wife she grabbed the wrong hand. Because she was really, really, really in pain, you know. And she was really in pain and screaming, you know. And so she grabbed my hand and screamed. So I also feel the pain together with her, but I cannot scream, right? And so I got to hold on, right? And I know I cannot get angry with her because she was in pain. And she just needed me or someone to know it is very, very painful. And she cannot say that to me, so she grabbed my hand to help me to experience her pain. So when you are going through with someone who is really in pain, and they grab your hand and you are in pain, I say to you, first of all, don't get angry with them. Alright? Don't get angry with them. In no offenses, learn to forgive them. Learn to forgive them. Be understanding. Learn to forgive them. Most importantly, you must learn how to lun. You know what's the meaning of lun? Means endure. Alright? So turn to your neighbor again and say lun. All right? The Hokkien word today. Yeah? So you must learn how to lun. Okay? And endure. Alright? The pain. Over these 2 years because of the pandemic, I do not know about you. Personally, maybe it's as a pastor, my job, I noticed that there were more relationship problems than before. Husband and wife, all right, with our children. I remember, all right, in the past, my wife would go to her office and work, so I would have my space at home when the whole day. I can do my sermon, I can do my quiet time, all right. And before the pandemic. Now, during pandemic, we know what happened, right? All got to stay at home and work. My wife has to work. My children have to work. I also got to work. So in the morning, 8 o'clock, when the meeting start, boom! You like pasta like that, you know, like market, you know, wow, wow, wow. So it was very, very uncomfortable. Very, very noisy. I couldn't even do my work. You know, under the circumstances, it's so easy that we begin to lose patience with one another. It's so easy we get upset with one another. But I want to say to us, during that time, we must learn to forgive and learn. Yes, yeah, some, okay. So during that time, we must learn to forgive and learn, okay. Be understanding, right? And keep your focus, you know, not on what you cannot get. Keep your focus on helping each other to be able to continue to live together as one. Maybe some of us is your CG members, some of us is your CG, your cell leaders, you're not happy with the cell leaders because during this period of time, alright, they don't care about you, they never send a text to you, what is my CG leader doing? Maybe the CG leader is not happy with the members. Wow, you know, everybody is doing a lot of work and you do nothing and you got upset with your CG members during this period of time. We all must learn to learn. Alright. I really believe, okay, COVID, one of the good things about COVID, about this pandemic, that God has given to us, is an opportunity that we learn what does it mean to be patient with one another. I never have that kind of testing, you know, as much as what I'm going through right now. That kind of patience. And I believe that this is an opportunity God has given for you and me to learn how to show patience with one another. By trusting Him, learn how to learn. But of course, some of us, you are going through a very, very difficult time. Your relationship is at the point of breaking. May I encourage you, right? Like, you know, step up. Talk to the staff. Talk to us. All right, call our office. As Pastor mentioned earlier, before, you know, we want to walk along with you. We want to come out and to see how we can give you the support. So if you're the person, you need help, and those are online as well. If you need help, all right, please step up and let the church know so that we know who you are and we'll know how to help you. Fifthly, we listen to understand. Listen to understand. All right. So when you have the opportunity to meet them, finally you call them and they say, okay, la, I want to meet you. And you have the opportunity to meet them physically. Rule number one. Okay, remember rule number one. Don't talk too much. Don't talk too much, alright? Listen to their story. Listen to what they want to share. Listen to their heart. There's a Cantonese word that says, 口水多过茶, right? I don't know what does that mean, but 口水 means a lot of saliva like that, alright? Basically, alright, when you meet someone, you know, there's always a tendency that we want to put in our opinions. There's a tendency you're very quick to put in our, you know, our perception. There's a tendency that we want to give solution very fast. So we don't really take time to listen, to try to intensively listen to what the person wants to say, and trying to feel the pain of that person. Our mind is always about, what can I help you? What's the problem? Why you're going through this? So we are not actually giving the person the attention. So I want to encourage you, alright, when someone wants to meet you, and they have something to share, and they're in pain. The best way to help the person who are in pain is listen. Listen with your heart. Listen patiently and connect to their pain. Sometimes the best way to help the person who are going through a difficult time or in pain is not how we give them the solution. When they are hurt, what they really want is someone who can understand their pain. It seems like we're not doing anything, but that is the best thing you can do for that person. And it is, and I've done that, you know, I've seen that many times in my life. And I realized that when people are in pain, you know, they just need someone to be there to listen and to understand them. And many times I've seen that in my own life. When I just be quiet and listen with my heart, God heals that person. And the person starts to cry. I don't even have to say anything. The person starts to cry because they got connected. So someone is willing to meet up with you, or maybe husband and wife, huh? Husband and wife also, right? I think husband and wife sometimes, huh? Alright, we don't really listen to one another. So husband and wife, do spend time. When someone wants to share, you listen. But if you're meeting someone today who are in pain, listen. Listen with your heart. Last but not least, finally, the person that you are walking with, constantly, always remind them you are not alone. Not just that you are not alone, but we are not alone. Always remind them. But you say, Pastor, how is it possible, you know, that to be with that person 24 hours, 7 days? It's impossible to be that person throughout the whole day and 7 weeks and 24 hours. It is impossible. That's why the message that I want to share with us, it is important during this period of time that we must learn to work together and carry each other's burden. The way for us to move forward and to help one another, we cannot just rely on one person. We need to rely on each other. We all learn to look out for Moses. We all learn to look out for our Lazarus. And we need to constantly remind them that the person who can really redeem them, deliver them and help them, and to ease their pain or to take away their pain, is Jesus Christ. So when you walk with that person, you listen to that person, you affirm that person, you spend time with that person, you assure the person, but ultimately, it is not your job to take away their pain. Your role and my role, as we walk with them during this journey, our role is to direct them to Christ. That Christ is the one who is able to be with him whole day, 24 hours, 7 days a week. So it's important that to remember that in the journey, that we don't just walk for each other. It's important that in the journey, we need to always remember Christ is in our midst. You know, sometimes we can walk with each other, we so focused on each other that we forgot that actually Christ is in our midst. That Christ can solve those problems that we can't solve. Isn't that true? So it's important in our journey, as we carry each other's burdens, we must know Christ is in our midst. And because Christ is in our midst, that's why we can say, with man, it is impossible. With God, all things are possible. You know, my most memorable trip in Israel 2 years ago, is walking through this Hezekiah Tunnel. All right, I got very excited because I read so much about the tunnel in the Bible. Now, finally, I got a chance to experience, alright, the real tunnel. So, I was very excited. And to me, that was the most experience, and I want to share with you why. So, it's a tunnel, it's a water system that cut in the rock, craft in the rock, under the city of David. The tunnel is about 500 over meters. So it's not very long. If you run, you can really run probably in 2 minutes, you can finish. But we have to walk very slowly and carefully for a few reasons. Number one, there's water. It's not dry. Then the water is as high as our knee level. So that means if you're not careful, you trip, you get wet, and maybe knock, and maybe get drowned. You know, I do not know. But it's not an easy walk. Water, right? Imagine it's wet, knee high level, and the path is not straight. It's curvy. And there's sharp edges everywhere. In other words, you're not careful, you get cut very easily. Alright, you get cut. And it's very narrow. It's very narrow, alright? It's good enough for probably one person to just walk across. And it's total darkness. It was really, really dark inside. We have to bring our torchlight. If I off that torchlight, it's total darkness. Pitch dark. Really, very dark. And so, because we are going in as a group, and to help each other, first of all, we learn to lend our shoulder for one another. So we have to hold on each other's shoulder, walk in a single file, alright, and through the tunnel. And as we walk, we keep checking on each other, like things like, how are you doing? Are you okay? Is everyone still here? So we keep checking and to make sure that we leave no one behind. And somewhere in the middle, we were instructed, turn and switch off your torchlight. So when the torchlight was off, it was total darkness. You couldn't even see your hands that's right in front of you. And we began to hear from someone. They are scared, they're anxious, they're panicked because it was total dark. And what do we do? During that period of darkness, when we can't see everyone, we encourage each other. We cannot see everyone, but we use our words to pass it down. To tell them, you are not alone. To assure them that we are with you. And to find out how you're doing. If you are scared, I'm here with you. And then we continue to assure one another. We continue to affirm one another through singing and praising God. Keeping our eyes on the Lord. And as we continue to walk in the darkness, in a single file, lending our shoulder to each other, as we keep walking, finally, we saw the light at the end of the tunnel. And together, we made it, and no one was left behind. We do not know, and no one knows, how long this COVID battle going to take 6 months, a year, or two. Nobody knows. But I encourage us, while we are in the darkness and waiting for the day to come, be patient with the Lord. Be patient with one another. We will overcome in Christ because the battle belongs to the Lord. The church will overcome because the Lord is fighting for us. So while we wait for the day to come, may I say to you, be patient with the Lord. Be patient with one another. And while we wait for that day, let us not get tired of doing what is good for each other. While we wait, let's continue to look out for our Moses and Lazarus in our life. Let us continue to lend them our hand and keep them and support them during this period of time when they need us. Let our shoulder be used for one another. While we wait, let's continue to trust God. Let's continue to praise God. And let's continue to pray for each other till we see our victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. And the day will come. The day will come. We have to be patient. The Lord is on our side. Amen. The Lord is on our side. Amen. Let's give the Lord our clap offering. All right. Let's encourage one another. All right. Right now, I want you to encourage yourself. You know, say to yourself, the Lord is on our side. So if you know someone today who needs help, if God bring you to someone, whether it's Moses who needs someone to support his hand, or to Lazarus, someone who needs to unwrap the clothes for them. If God show you that person, or they come to you for help, don't say to them, it's your business. That is none of my business. Don't say to them, there's nothing I can do to help you. Do your best to help. Remember, it's not the big things that you show your love. It's the things that do with love to help the person to know that you love them. You don't have to be a big things. It can be a small things, but do it with love. And do it willingly, not grudgingly. Do it in a gentle and humble spirit. Don't criticize. Don't be too quick to judge. Don't be too quick to complain. In a gentle and humble spirit. And if you do not know how to do it, there's no excuse for you today. Because I just shared with us the credo, our family. It's practical and it's easy. I'm sure everyone knows how to do. So if you do not know how to do, remember our family credo. But if you are Lazarus today, where you need someone to unwrap for you, if you are Moses today, you need someone to hold your hands, and you have been holding your hands up for a long time, and you begin to feel the tiredness, the burden is overwhelming for you, don't be afraid to step out and ask for help. It is only when you step out to ask for help, and someone is willing to step in to give, as we give and receive, we see the love of God in us. We see God's love manifested in our midst. And the world will know and see what is it like to be loved in Christ. So I'm going to encourage you, if you're the person, your burden is too heavy, step out. Come out. Let us know. Let the church know. We may not be able to help you in everything, but we will do our best to give you our support. Let us carry this burden together with you. One person can only achieve this much. But if we do our bit, help one another, support one another, and carry each other's, not just we fulfill everything God requires of us, the law of Christ, when the harvest is ready, we will enjoy the fruits of the labor. Before I close in prayer, to me, this period of time is God's given opportunity for the church to stand up of what it means to love one another during crisis. This is a golden opportunity that God has given to us for us to demonstrate our faith and what it means as a Christian and those who are in Christ, how we love one another that is different from the world. And so let us step up and seize this opportunity to carry each other's burden and to love one another and make God's love visible through our action, through our words, through our lives. Will you do that for Jesus today? Make His love visible, especially during this time. Shall we stand? Are you encouraged by the word of God this morning or this afternoon? You are? God is here with us. Let us give our Lord a clear offering, shall we? I think God is really good to us. Yeah. And let me this time and close us in prayer, right? Father, we want to thank you for giving us the opportunity like this, where we have the chance and the space to practice and demonstrate our faith. So Father, we pray by your Holy Spirit, would you empower each one of us, even as we step out from here and go back to our world. The Lord, would you inspire us, would you empower us, as what you say in the scripture, for you have not given us a spirit of timidity or fear, But you give us a spirit of love and power. So I pray, Father, would you use Church Our Savior, that during this time, during this crisis, that we will not hold back, we will not step out, but we will step up for one another, carry each other, help one another, support one another. Even if it's difficult, Lord, we will pray, we believe and we pray that you will help us, see us through during this period of time, even if it's difficult. But because, Lord, you are with us, we know, oh God, the time will come. The time will come, we will see the light, and we will enjoy the fruits of our labor. So I pray, Father, for us, even if we leave from here, Lord, may your love be upon each one of us, that this hope, this faith, and this love that's in us, as we go out, Lord, we will look out for our Moses and our Lazarus. And we see one, Lord, send us to them. And we will go to that person, and we'll do our best to give them our support. So thank you once again, O Lord, for your presence here, for the fellowship, and for, Lord, the hearing of your word that is so powerful, that is so rich, the lesson that you have taught us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Yeah, that's right. Let's give the Lord a clear offering. All right, the service is over. God bless you, and I'll see you all next week.